The Afghan peace process is in pieces. Let's talk about it on today's Hot Zone.
This is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, Chuck Holton here. Thanks for being a part of the Hot Zone today. We're going to talk about Afghanistan. If you've been following the podcast, you know that there's been a lot of unrest there since I visited back last August and embedded with my son's unit that was there. And one of the things that was going on at that time was the peace talks between the United States and the Taliban, with the eventual goal of trying to get the United States out and all of the coalition partners out of Afghanistan, turn it over to the Afghan government, and let them have their own peace talks with the Taliban. One of the main tenets of those peace talks was a reduction in violence by the Taliban. Well, guess what, folks? If anything, the violence has increased. As a matter of fact, there have been something like 55 attacks every day in Afghanistan lately. There have been, since the peace talks were finalized, there have been more than 4,500 attacks by the Taliban. Now, you might say, wait a minute, I haven't heard anything about the attacks in Afghanistan. I haven't heard anything about the fact that it's worse now than it has been in many, many years. And that would be true. Why is that? Well, as I reported when I was there last August, the United States military and the U.S. government really does not want you to know what's going on in Afghanistan. And that's basically because it looks so bad right now. Now, the Pentagon basically admitted as much in a press conference given by Jonathan Hoffman, a Pentagon spokesman recently. Listen to what he had to say.
The decision was that the information was not going to be released as it's part of the diplomatic discussions with the Taliban and with State Department and other parties in an effort to bring a diplomatic solution. And so the decision was that we're working toward a better solution and a better place for Afghanistan, and that the sharing of that information would not move that ball forward. And so that decision was made. We're supportive of it. At the same time, that information will be released in the future. I will state, and I think we've been very transparent about this, is that we are not pleased with the level of violence in Afghanistan. The level of violence by the Taliban is unacceptably high. They have continued attacks on the ANDSF. We have continued to do retaliatory attacks, to defensive attacks, to help defend our partners in the area, and we'll continue to do that. I will say that there have been no attacks on U.S. forces or our coalition country forces in the area, or major city attacks per the agreement. But at the same time, the level of attacks is not conducive to a diplomatic solution, and we hope to see that reduced.
So they're literally saying, we are not going to even report what's going on in Afghanistan anymore as far as numbers of attacks, as far as casualties or anything like that, because we don't want to jeopardize the peace process. Well, I would say the fact that the Taliban is attacking more than ever is in and of itself, ipso facto, a jeopardization of the peace process. And the Taliban has said all along, you guys have the watches, but we have the time. We can wait and wait and wait until you just get fed up and leave, and then we will claim victory. And that's exactly what's going to happen. I hate to say it, but I said this was a problem. I pointed this problem out when I was getting ready to leave Afghanistan after my embed there back in August. Take a look. People get wounded. That's a fact of war. Bad things happen. Things get blown up. There are, you know, setbacks in war. But I can tell you, it was made very clear to me on this trip, we do not want you to tell the story of what's actually happening. We do not want you to say anything about what could have been done better, or what might have gone wrong, or what might have happened that the enemy did, or anything like that. And again, part of it is just that they're short-staffed. Part of it is that you know, as they say, the crap rolls downhill, so to speak. And so the person that's, you know, tasked with minding me has got to be on the bottom of the totem pole anyway. And they're the one that's going to get the worst of it if I do anything that embarrasses anybody. And so, yeah, I understand. I get it. I kind of wish that they would understand a little more that that's not what I'm here for, that I spend a heck of a lot of money to get over here, and that my intent is obviously to show the heroism and sacrifice of U.S. troops. But I can do that and actually do real journalism at the same time. But they don't really want you to do real journalism. And they would probably take exception to me saying that. But from my point of view, that is the God-honest truth. They don't want journalism to happen here in Afghanistan when it concerns U.S. troops. They want rainbows and sunshine and unicorns and gummy bears and, you know, good, solid hometown feel-good stories and nothing else whatsoever. And that's unfortunate because it's not telling the truth to the American people. So what does this mean for Afghanistan? What does this mean for the United States? Well, one thing it means is that the American people have no idea what's going on with the 10,000 or so troops who are left on the ground there. And as you probably feel yourself, everybody wants those guys to come home. I mean, we want this thing. We're done with Afghanistan. We want it over. We want it done with. Bring our boys and girls home as soon as possible. And that's what the Trump administration has committed to do. But unfortunately, in order to be able to keep that commitment, they basically have to lie to the American people by omission, meaning that they're not telling you what's happening with the billions and billions. I'm talking hundreds of billions of dollars that are being spent in Afghanistan every year. They're not telling you even about American casualties or American hostages that are being taken. To prove that point, let's talk about a guy named Mark Fryericks. He's a Navy veteran and civil engineer who's been working in Afghanistan for about 10 years. He was a Navy diver, but then went back and went to Afghanistan as a civilian. He's been working there as a contractor for a long, long time. And back in February, he was captured by the Haqqani Network. Now, the Haqqani Network used to be on the payroll of the CIA, but they've kind of gone rogue, and we've been fighting them for many years now. And they took Mark Fryericks as a hostage back in February. It caused a massive manhunt. The Navy SEALs and Special Operations Forces were over there looking for him. And listen to what Florida Representative Michael Waltz has to say about this situation. Now, you have to understand, Michael Waltz is a former Green Beret himself. He was actually involved in the search for Bo Bergdahl when he walked off the base and went AWOL in Afghanistan. And so he has, I would say, a pretty good handle on what the issues entail in Afghanistan right now. Listen to Representative Michael Waltz, congressman from Florida.
So basically, why have we entered into a peace deal with organizations that have taken American hostage and that are holding an American hostage and that took the American hostage during the peace negotiations? The Taliban's, you know, MO, so to speak, is when they take an American hostage is to hide them until they can get them over the border into Pakistan, where it's much more difficult for us to conduct military operations or any type of rescue. You know, one of the key parts of the peace deal was a prisoner exchange between the Afghan government and the Taliban as a confidence building measure. One would only presume, and certainly I will be pounding the table expecting from an oversight standpoint, that our hostage, call him a hostage, call him a prisoner, will be part of that. So I have real concerns about suggestions that the Taliban are serious about peace, that the Taliban are upholding their end of the deal, when as we speak today, they are holding a former Navy veteran and American citizen hostage that they took, again, during the peace negotiations. No more concessions, no deals, no moving forward until that American is free.
So I think the totality of the evidence, folks, tells us that right now, Afghanistan is an absolute mess. It's a total clown show. And not only that, but we are losing whatever we're doing in Afghanistan is not working. The spending tons and tons of money, not working. Trying to raise up the Afghan forces to be able to fight for themselves, not working, has not been working for a long, long time. And not only that, but the peace process itself is an absolute scam. This is what Mike Pompeo said about it back late last year.
The United States and the Taliban have endured decades of hostility and mistrust. Previous talks have faltered. This effort only became real for the United States when the Taliban signaled interest in pursuing peace and ending their relationship with Al-Qaeda and other foreign terrorist groups.
Well, obviously, none of this is happening. The Taliban is not reducing their violence, and we have to conclude that the peace process is an absolute scam. It's in pieces. It's falling apart. And we are going to go ahead and leave Afghanistan. We're going to pull our troops out. We're actually ahead of schedule in pulling the troops out, but we're not going to leave behind an Afghanistan that is in any way the place that we hoped it would be. Now, is it better off? It is, actually. In many ways, it is better off, but in some ways, it's worse. And here is one last clip from my trip to Afghanistan last August, walking through the marketplace there, just to give you a sense for what that looked like. Hey folks, Chuck Holton here, and I am walking through the marketplace in downtown Kabul. That's because when I got to the airport, the military, who I guess thought I was coming tomorrow, they weren't there to pick me up. I couldn't find a taxi that could take me anywhere to the military, and so I had to get a hotel in downtown Kabul, one of the safest hotels, but it's in a neighborhood that's had a lot of attacks and gets a lot of attacks very regularly. They've had car bombs in Kabul daily, just about for the past, well, months, even all this year, as we've come up to this moment when the U.S. is hoping to be able to pull some of its troops out of Afghanistan. And the only way to do that is to have a peace deal with the Taliban. And so they have been negotiating, and it looks like we're very close to reaching a deal. By the time this airs, we may actually have a deal to pull out many of our troops. But security is very, very tight, and you can tell people are kind of on edge down here. So I just walked down and bought some pistachios in the marketplace. And of course, it's kind of like a giraffe showed up. I get a lot of attention, so I'm not going to stick around down here for very long, because it'd be a real good, easy way to get yourself kidnapped or shot or something. But back there behind me, if you can see, is the mosque, kind of silhouetted by the sun. That's a cool picture. And I'm staying down here at the Serena Hotel. That hotel has been attacked at least three times, major attacks, car bombs, multiple assailants, all kinds of stuff. And so security getting into that hotel is absolutely crazy. I can't show it to you on camera, but I'll describe it to you once I get inside. So yeah, peace process, not so much. We hopefully will get a little more on this subject. I've reached out to Representative Waltz to try to get him on the show. And let's see what happens as this moves forward. In the meantime, thanks for watching The Hot Zone. Folks, do me a favor. We're doing a lot of work to put together some really great stuff, not just for our everyday show, but for our patrons. So there's extra content online for our patrons, and that you can get on there and take a look at as a patron. $3 a month. Just $3 a month, and you can just by committing to $3 a month, you can say, this podcast, I get something out of it. It means something to me, and I want to help show some support for it. And you're going to get a lot of extra content for that, including copies of my books. So I hope you'll go over to patreon.com/hotzone. I've got a goal of doubling the support we have over there by midsummer, and so I hope you'll be a part of it.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.